This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. During the early 1950s, when rock and roll's history was beginning to come together, no single type of music sold better or was more influential in binding teenagers together as the harmony singing known as doo-wop. It didn't come out of nowhere, however, and scholar Bill Dahl has now undertaken a 15-volume year-by-year survey of the form for Bear Family Records. It's called Street Corner Symphonies, The Complete Story of Doo-wop. The first five volumes, dealing with 1939 to 1953, have been released. Rock historian Ed Ward has heard them and has this review.
Billy Ward and the Dominoes' 60-Minute Man, an underground hit in 1951, is often credited as one of the first rhythm and blues records that white kids bought because it was dirty. By today's standards, it's pretty mild, but it was a different story then. Otherwise, the song is pretty normal fare for the day, with bass singer Bill Brown taking the lead and the rest of the group punctuating the lyrics with support. Vocal groups had been around for a while by the time this record was made, and were often part of a nightclub show back in the 1930s. Some would sing with the band's rhythm section behind them, and some, like the Cats and the Fiddle, played their own instruments.
Those happy hours that once were ours, I miss them, yes, I know, most of all.
Others, like the Ink Spots and the Mills Brothers, were famous on their own and would play package shows with other musicians, as well as clubs. Some of these acts went on for decades, often without a single member of the original group appearing with them. As far as black teenagers were concerned, though, this was old folks' music, and after World War II, they wanted something of their own. For harmony singing, all you needed were some other singers, and basic harmony instruction was as close as the church your parents probably made you attend anyway. The first wave of these groups was referred to as the bird groups, because the Robins, the Orioles, and the Ravens were the first to start investigating the new ways of presenting vocal harmony. The Ravens, for instance, had a bass lead singer, Jimmy Ricks, known as Ricky.
Do-loo-doo, 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 do-loo-doo.
Well, old man river, old man river, he must know something, but he don't say nothing. No, he just keep rolling, keeps on just rolling along. Keeps on rolling.
Ricky's bass lead was copied by a lot of other groups, but although the bird groups were younger, this was still the old frontman with harmonies approach. As some of the new gospel groups coming up were proving, there was another way, and when one of them decided to go secular, hits often followed. Five Royale's Baby Don't Do It from 1952 translated gospel fire and quick interaction between the soloist and the group into a big hit for the former Royal Sons, and they never looked back. Vocalist Johnny Tanner is rightly credited with being one of the inventors of soul music. The other approach was to take an old standard and rearrange it, as with this chestnut from the 30s film Holiday Inn. Sorry for the terrible sound quality there, but that's one of only two known copies of the world's rarest record, the Five Sharps' Stormy Weather, and the other has a crack in it. Not only was this a holy grail for record collectors, the song became a challenge to young groups to harmonize and rearrange to show your chops. By 1953, it was clearly harmony that was the thing, and one of the first groups to throw down the gauntlet was Chicago's Flamingos, who would be champions of the genre for years. One of their first records, Golden Teardrops, shows what they were capable of.
Golden teardrops, I remember when you fell from the eyes of my love. What a fool I've been, and swear to God I'll stray no more. My all the stars above, golden teardrops.
As you can hear, lead singer Solly McElroy is only part of the story here. I think the falsetto is by Zeke Carey, but Dahl's liner notes aren't clear on this. And of course, combining the rhythms that would eventually become rock and roll with some solid harmonizing could also move records with teenagers, black and white. Good Lovin' was a smash hit on the rhythm and blues charts, although it was doubtful the pop radio would have played it. It was too suggestive. But that's okay. It was only 1953. Doo-wop would soon conquer America to the delight of its teenagers and the dismay of its grouches.
Ed Ward lives in France. He reviewed the first five volumes of Street Corner Symphonies on Bear Family Records. You'll find a couple of videos of doo-wop groups on our website, freshair.npr.org. Coming up, why you should start thinking of your cell phone as a tracking device. This is Fresh Air.